All right. I got a lot of tweets for you guys. We're back in the second hour, Cenk and Anna. First on the Corolla story, Gabby Morita says, if Corolla wants adults to start acting like adults, maybe you should start with the current occupant of the White House. Good point. Also note to the Republican legislators that invited him on that. Shaun of the Dead writes in, what kind of a special snowflake millionaire goes all the way to Congress because college kids don't like his humor? Okay, I didn't say it. Shaun of the Dead said it. Brandon Atkins says, conservatives don't want to pay for women's birth control, but they want college kids to pay for their propagandist wingnuts. Okay. And then on other issues, just real quick, the Forgotten Arm says, Bernie is giving the public early view of his platform. You'd think that the DCCC would be taking his ideas if only to keep their jobs. No. No, they've got to keep the donations first of all. They've lost sight of the goal, which is to actually get elected and do pass legislation and get policy. Policy they couldn't care less about. Even getting elected, sometimes they're like, oh, no, I got it. I already raised the most amount of money. You know, sometimes because of the internet, now you lose even if you raised more money. Wow. Captain Jinglepants says about Nancy Pelosi, master legislator, : introduces no legislation. Yeah, master legislator, that is a good question. What have you passed lately? So, you know, I know the answer, by the way. When you say that, they get really touchy. They go, what do you mean? Back in 2009 and 10, we did Obamacare. Seven, 8 years ago, we once did something. And that's when we had a supermajority. And anyone could pass anything if you had a supermajority. But anyway, God, they set the lowest bars. They set the lowest bars. I'm a master legislator because I passed something with a supermajority. All right,
let's go.
Hey, everybody. All right, let's get started. Let's start with some international news. The death toll in Venezuela has increased amid protests over a controversial vote that just took place. Now, this vote was all about replacing a legislative body known as the National Assembly in Venezuela with a pro-Maduro assembly, which essentially now has the power to rewrite the Constitution. Now, unfortunately, Maduro and his cronies won in this vote, and of course, people are calling this entire election a fraud, and I'll tell you why in just a second. But for those of you who want a little bit of a backstory before I get into the details of this recent update on Venezuela, there have been protests in Venezuela because of rapid inflation, lack of resources, because the economy there was so reliant on oil and also on importing products. As soon as oil prices went down, people started to go hungry. And so now people are taking to the streets, and Maduro's response to it has been draconian. And instead of taking responsibility for his actions, he has decided to essentially overthrow the legislative body and put in charge a pro-Maduro assembly, again, known as the I'll tell you what it's called in just a second. So just to go back to the death tolls in regard to these protests, the deaths bring the total to at least 122 killed in nearly 4 months of political upheaval. Venezuelans also appeared to be abstaining in massive numbers on Sunday when this vote took place in a show of silent protest against a vote to select a constitutional assembly, giving the government virtually unlimited powers. Again, these people will be allowed to rewrite the Constitution. And so as a result, in protest, people refused to take part in the election. They boycotted it. So at least 5,500 candidates for the 545 seats in the Constituent Assembly, that's what the new assembly is called, are his supporters. The special assembly being selected, or that was selected last Sunday, will have powers to rewrite the Constitution, the country's 1999 Constitution, but also have the powers above and beyond other state institutions, including the opposition-controlled Congress. So things are really, really bad in Venezuela. And again, Maduro continues to, you know, compound the problem instead of take responsibility and step down.
So I'm going to give you a little bit of the other side in 1 second, but I want you to give you context too. So now, because the opposition did not participate in these elections, as Anna told you, every seat in the assembly is Maduro's, his party's. In the previous National Assembly, 112 of the 167 seats was the opposition. Mm-hmm. And Maduro, right before the opposition got into power after the elections, basically packed the Supreme Court. It's a simple way of explaining what happened there. And so the Supreme Court protected him so that he can't be impeached. So then he went on to solidify his power by doing this election, which now the U.S. government, among others, including, by the way, Mexico and Canada, are calling a sham election. Also, Panama and many, Colombia and a lot of the other countries around there. But, so I think that is very likely exactly what's happening here. The reason I say but is that there is a deep history of propaganda that the U.S. has done in Latin America with countries that we don't like. And so there are, I want you to know, other countries that say, no, these elections were fine and Maduro's government is okay. And in fact, what is happening is orchestrated protests by the forces that don't want socialism to work in Latin America, and they're trying to bring down his government. So Nicaragua is on his side, Bolivia is also on its side. And so now again, more countries on the other side, Brazil against it, Guatemala against it. So giving you a full context here. Now, this one seems pretty clear. Oh, by the way, Maduro says the people protesting him are terrorists. Now hold on. Now the reason I give you full context is because there was a bomb that went off by the police and they got injured. And so most of the violence has been directed at the protesters. Some of the violence has been directed at the police, which are with Maduro. So now, if it was us, if the minute there's any police violence, we'd say, yes, they're terrorists. All the protesters are terrorists. And so mm-hmm. when we do a crackdown, we'd say we're justified, right? Now, I don't think Maduro is justified, but why I hated all the propaganda we've done in the past is because in a situation like this, it makes us a little unsure that we understand the full story.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying by that?
Yes. Look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm an expert on this, but I find what's happening in Venezuela fascinating. So I have spent a lot of time kind of looking into it, researching and trying to figure out what's going on. And I understand that there's going to be propaganda on both sides, especially when issues related to socialism are involved. And I don't want to fall victim to that propaganda. But here's what I know for sure. And I've said this before when we've covered what's going on in Venezuela. It is not one thing. It is not just the fact that it's a socialist country. It is a number of factors that played a role in the economic downfall of the country, right? And so there was way too much reliance on oil. And, you know, Venezuela was doing great when oil prices were extremely high. But what happens when the oil prices go down? And so what they failed to do, what Hugo Chavez failed to do, and what, you know, the previous leader failed to do is, you know, take into consideration what happens when those oil prices dip. And so the oil prices dip. They did overspend their money on social programs. I am not against social programs. I think you need to have a mixed economy with, you know, private industry and public programs as well. But in this case, they overspent. They didn't save in case there was a doomsday. And then when things started to get really bad and people started protesting Maduro because the inflation was so high, he got dictatorial, and again, he made the problems worse. And so it's a combination of things. And by the way, one other factor, they were too reliant on importing products. They stopped making and manufacturing products in their own country. And so now they're super reliant on imports. Of course, that's going to raise the costs of the products that they need to survive. So it's a number of different things. And unfortunately, people are going to latch on to one thing or another for their own talking points and their own propaganda.
Yeah, don't get simplistic on either side. So let me give you one more on the other hand and then finally give you my opinion. So when you look at how protests were orchestrated to take down the governments that actually represented their own people in Latin America in the past and in Iran in the 1950s, orchestrated by the CIA, this is what they look like. So I'm not saying they are in this case. I'm going to tell you what I think in a second about this particular situation. So that is why, though, when we see a situation like this, we go, okay, because of the wrongdoing we've done in the past, it makes us pause and go, are we falling victim to yet another ruse? And by the way, in those instances, the government would use, now this was decades ago, but would use reputable organizations, including the New York Times, definitely Time Magazine over and over again, because it was run by a conservative that had deep connections to the CIA. And they would put out things like, oh, the guys, the the democratically elected leader is dictatorial, mm-hmm. and there's protests in the streets.
I mean, we did it with Panama, and, you know, look, we had economic interests with Panama. We wanted to have access to their canal, and I'm not going to sit here and say that Noriega was a great guy, but why do you think the U.S. was so interested in overthrowing Noriega?
We had a deal with him in the first place with the CIA, so we thought he was such a bad guy. Why'd you make a deal with him in the first place?
Exactly.
And the list goes on and on, let alone all the why we called them banana republicans in the first place, because we would do coups on behalf of fruit companies. Now, there is... One other thing that is similar here is that sometimes the banks will then start saying, we're not going to loan you any more money, and put other financial pressure on, which would make some of these financial situations even more dire. That would make real people angry, mm-hmm. and then actually protest the government. And that's how you put pressure on a government. Now, having said that, in this case, looking at the totality of it, I don't think that's what's happened. And I based on that on a number of things. Because Maduro, if you were genuine in this, you wouldn't have packed the Supreme Court, and you did. Again, it's oversimplifying a tiny bit to say that, but that was the effect of that, of the decisions regarding the Supreme Court. And then if you've got an election where the opposition is not participating, you don't go, okay, I guess I win all 500 some odd seats. It's all mine. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to now change the Constitution and imprison my political opponents, which is what he's promising to do. No, no, no. Imprisoning your political opponents is not the right thing to do under any circumstance.
Yep. According to CBS, Maduro wants the assembly to strip opposition legislators of their constitutional immunity from prosecution, and indicated he is eager to prosecute many more members of the opposition parties that control a handful of state governments along with the National Assembly, providing one of the few remaining checks on the power of the Socialist Party. And by the way, just to give you a little bit of an idea of how the public feels in Venezuela in regard to what just happened, opinion polls say more than 70% of the country is opposed to Sunday's vote. And so it's kind of amazing, because 70% is opposed to it. It's just like America, right? Where you're like, how... Who's the other 30%? Like, where have you guys been, and why do you guys feel that way? But anyway.
No, but because Maduro says, look, the reason you're suffering is not because of me, but because of outside forces that are driving these economic problems in the first place. Now, again, I don't think the facts are on his side on that, because they did not properly invest when oil prices were high, and they're doing price controls. Price controls and currency controls, generally speaking, especially price controls, are a disastrous economic idea. And now you can say, hey, Cenk, you're a capitalist, it's not fair. Look, we can argue over the words of capitalism, socialism, mixed economy. The reality is, I think the government does some things better, military cops, but also education, health care. I think the government should provide health care so that you have equality of opportunity in education and just so you can live. I do think that companies make better sneakers and cars. Okay, but when you do price controls, I've never seen it work in any economy, so you shouldn't be surprised that that decimated your economy. And he's pressuring 2.8 million state employees to participate in the elections, pressuring public employees to vote your way, and then they're giving out sandwiches. I mean, there's a host of things that they're doing that are clearly wrong. And when 70% of the country opposes what you're doing, it's not just some foreign journalists or foreign actors that are driving it.
Right.
Obviously, you've lost popular support in your country. And if you've got 70% opposed to you, and then you claim, no, all the seats in the assembly are now mine, you know that's not a legitimate government.
Right.
So that's my assessment of the situation. But I wanted you to know all the sides.
Yes. There's one final kernel to the story that I just want to get out. I know we've spent way too much time on it, but I thought this was hilarious. So Maduro wanted to make a point about how he has a valid ID and is allowed to cast a vote, right? And so why would he even want to prove that he's legally able to do so? Well, it turns out that he wasn't necessarily born in Venezuela. People are accusing him of being born in Colombia, which would essentially bar him from being the president of Venezuela, right? So he has this ID, he's about to cast his ballot, and you know, the media is with him, and he's like, I have my ID, I'm about to prove, he's speaking Spanish, he's not speaking the way I am.
Really?
I'm giving him a Trump accent for some reason. Anyway, he's like,
for a good reason, I'll explain in a second.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Here's my ID. I'm going to prove that I'm a, you know, I'm allowed to vote. And so a reporter, let's go to graphic 7. A reporter takes out her phone and then scans the ID. And a notification comes up indicating that this person does not exist.
So he's not in the voter rolls.
He's not in the voter rolls.
Because it turns out he might have been born in Colombia. He has, are you ready for this? Never shown a birth certificate.
Oh, my gosh. So, that's amazing.
Now, again, I don't know if it's a birther conspiracy against him.
Yeah.
Or he actually, in this case, was not born in Venezuela, which, of course, would not allow him to run Venezuela according to their laws. So, but boy, either way, even if it was just a mistake, that is a terrible mistake to make on election day when you're trying to prove how legitimate you are.
Yeah.
At a minimum, it shows terrible incompetence, which then is the second thing that connects him to Trump. Because the first thing is, in this election, and here we're just giving you a tiny bit of fun in an otherwise really dark story in Venezuela. Mm-hmm. Maduro somehow got his wife and one of his kids elected into the new parliament, into the new assembly. Okay.
Wow.
And then you think, third world country, having their kids help run the country. Oops. Donald Trump with Ivanka Trump in the White House, Jared Kushner running half of his policy, let alone George H.W. Bush leading to George W. Bush, helped by Jeb Bush in Florida to win that election. So easy to throw stones at Venezuela, and it appears that Maduro at least deserves some of that. But remember, we got a bit of a glass house here, too.
Absolutely. In fact, let's talk about that glass house right now. Poverty in Venezuela to poverty in the United States. A group of vigilantes in San Fernando Valley, California, have decided to help escort individuals who want to shop at grocery stores into the grocery stores to avoid panhandlers. In fact, panhandling in Chatsworth, California has gotten so bad that vigilantes feel like they need to take matters into their own hands and protect shoppers. So let's hear from Cher Bentley, who happens to be the person who founded a Facebook page to kind of mobilize people to be these vigilantes. She says, we've had a lot of concerns about aggressive panhandling, the homeless using the entrance to Ralph's as a bathroom, and people have stopped shopping here and are going to other areas, which is bad for our community. Instead of people being scared and running off, we thought we would come here and escort people who feel unsafe. We want people to shop in our community without being fearful. Now, I have, no hate for Cher. I hear what she's saying. She wants to protect shoppers, and that's great. But this is a symptom of a problem that we continuously ignore. And homelessness has increased dramatically in parts of the country, Los Angeles County being one of those parts. So one of the panhandlers in the area was interviewed by the Los Angeles Daily News. His name is Archer. He's a 30-year-old from Alabama with a moniker JTRA. He said he's a musician who plays guitar, bass, piano. He produces, sings, raps, and is a DJ and has gigs lined up and another job, but he doesn't make enough money to live in a residence. So people are, again, either living in their cars or living on the streets, even if they have jobs. And so I think a lot of people in the country can relate to this right now. And I'm going to give you the reasons why we're seeing more and more homelessness in just a second, but I want you to jump in.
Yeah, on this one I got mixed feelings too, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. So the case of JTRA, who clearly has too many letters in his name, but in his initials, but it seems like a good guy, and he's on hard times. And you know, you read some of his quotes, and it's gut-wrenching. He's like, look, man, we're barely trying to survive here. I got a job, I don't make enough money, and you feel terrible for him. And that is the case probably for a lot of the homeless. On the other hand, some of the homeless do have drug issues, and we can't be naive about that, and have mental illness issues.
Yep.
So if you say to me, okay, you know, are you comfortable with yourself or your family or whatever walking past someone who you think has a decent chance of having mental illness, look, walking past is too strong. Of course you can walk past them. Mm-hmm. There's homeless, unfortunately, in all these cities, and we don't give them proper care. But if some people feel uncomfortable with it and they want to be escorted in, I'm not sure that I think that's a terrible thing. Do you see what I'm saying?
No, I look, like I said, I do not blame anyone who wants to get involved and protect customers who want to go in and shop. And look, I'm going to be honest. I've personally experienced homeless people who have untreated, because they're homeless, untreated mental problems and or mental conditions. And, you know, there was one time when I was running in my neighborhood and a guy started coming at me. He took off his belt. He started swinging it and started coming in my direction. And I had to run in the other direction as fast as I could because I was scared. Mm-hmm. But this problem is going to get worse. And it is getting worse at this very moment for a number of different reasons. But the two issues that I want to focus on, and you're going to roll your eyes, but housing, that's definitely a problem.
I'm not rolling my eyes.
No, I know. But it's an issue that I care about because... Look, we can build moats around ourselves as much as we want, right? But we all want to live in nice, safe communities where everyone has a chance to survive. And I feel like we are just completely diminishing any and all opportunities for people to live peaceful, prosperous lives. LA is a perfect example. So let's go to graphic 12, because I want to talk a little bit about what's happening in LA specifically. There was something called the Ellis Act, right? So the Coalition for Economic Survival found 638 Ellis Act evictions through the first half of 2017 in Los Angeles County. For the same time last year, there were 294. The Ellis Act basically lets landlords know if you have a rent-controlled building, you can go ahead and switch it from rental property to condos or to a hotel, or if you want, you can go ahead and demolish that building and rebuild it as luxury condos or luxury apartments. And that's what's happening right now. A lot of these rent-controlled buildings for low-income individuals are being demolished, and we're building these ridiculously expensive condos or apartments that people simply can't afford. The occupancy rate in downtown LA right now is 12%. And the reason why is because they're building these luxurious places that people can't afford, right? And so it's a dumb idea to get rid of rent-controlled buildings and then go ahead and build these crazy-ass condos that people can't afford. Okay, well, then we're going to see more homeless people on the streets.
Okay, so I think that we agree on the problem. We just don't quite agree on the solution. I think the solution is to help the people who are homeless, and I know you agree with that portion of it.
Right.
And to help, like Utah did a really interesting program where they had this crazy idea. They're like, well, we got homeless, why don't we build them homes? And I was very skeptical about it, to be fair, mm-hmm. right? But it turns out, no, it worked. And it turned out to be a much cheaper solution. They built, you know, fairly, you know, obviously cheap homes, mm-hmm. but they got them off the street. It got them some sort of housing. And it doesn't work in every case. If you have mental illness, you're not going to stay there. But you can then provide a little bit more funding for mental illness. And that's a much better way to deal with the homelessness, I think, than saying to someone who has a property, you're not allowed to do X, Y, or Z with that property.
No, look, and I get it. And I get that side of the argument, especially since my dad is a property owner, and that's his. He didn't save for retirement. He lives off his apartment buildings and the rent that he collects, right? And so I get it. It's super uncomfortable to have the government get involved and tell you, as a property owner who poured all of your, you know, resources into these buildings, no, you can't do this or that, right? But there needs to be some sort of balancing act, and right now there is no balancing act. You know, right now the investors come in and they're like, we're going to buy your building for double what it's worth because we want to demolish it and we want to build
this. Because they think they're going to make money.
No, I don't think that's
not a thing to balance. I mean, look, rent controls. We just talked about Venezuela, how bad price controls are. Rent controls are price controls.
Yeah, I like rent control. I don't think there's anything wrong with rent control.
And look, I could make the opposite argument from mine and say they have rent control in New York. New York has not sunk. They exist. It didn't destabilize the market completely. But overall, I think that they affect the market in other ways. On the other hand, prices that are for buildings that are not rent control in New York are sky high for a number of different reasons. But could rent control have made the other apartments more expensive? It is possible. Mm-hmm. So I would rather address the homelessness than to deal with other people's property.
I know, Cenk, but you need to make $106,000 a year to afford a two-bedroom apartment in Los Angeles. I'm not even having a conversation about buying something. Just renting a two-bedroom apartment in Los Angeles, you need to make six figures, okay? If you are working as a social worker, for instance, which by the way is an incredibly noble job to take on, and you have gotten your, you know, master's degree and you are credentialed, you will put yourself through school, there is no reason why you should live in government housing, okay? Mm-hmm. And we're getting to that point right now. And just to but give again, you another insane statistic, so there's been a 23% increase in homelessness in Los Angeles County since last year.
That's a huge number.
Yeah.
So look, last thing is, I think this is the right way to have this conversation. I don't like the black and white where we say, no, it's all, you know, X people's fault, and or on the conservative side, say like, oh, homeless, just, you know, get them out of the streets, who cares about them, right? No, come on, if you're a decent human being, you got to care about these folks. And it's not like they're bums. Why did it go up so, did a quarter more decide to become, you know, lazy over the last year? No, there's obviously economic conditions that are driving it. I just think we're better served not only in doing the things that we talked about, but you're right, people are not getting paid decent wages. Mm-hmm. So then I would say we should increase the minimum wage, we should find better opportunities, free college education, so you have equality of opportunity. I would just address it from a different angle than you would.
Right.
And I know you don't disagree with the things that I'm saying.
No, I don't disagree. I think that you have good solutions. I'm not against those solutions. But one other thing that I would do is, you're a foreigner who wants to invest in U.S. property, no, you're done. Okay? Unless you come here, you are a U.S. citizen, and then you want to buy property, fine. But if you are living in Russia or living in China and you want a way to launder your money, you don't get to do it with U.S. properties.
I like that now the progressives have, the conservatives have anchor babies, liberals now have anchor apartments. We're against anchor apartments. Conservatives should join us on that cause. All right, we'll agree on that note. All right, when we come back, some fun stories for you guys, and of course, another disastrous one in today's police state. All right, we'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks. Members of the day are Adam McArdle and Dylan Gorton. And all the members, as you know, get all the show downloaded anytime, commercial free, and post game as well. Maybe we'll talk about our weekend. What did you do anything interesting this weekend, Anna?
Yeah, let's talk about our weekend. That'd be fun.
All right, tytnetwork.com/join to hear the post games as well, get all that. And speaking of which, Woke Poppy writes in.
My favorite handle, by the way.
And your favorite message in this case. Anna, you slayed at Politicon.
Thank you.
Yes, queen.
Thank you. Okay. I appreciate that.
You sure Woke Poppy isn't your husband?
That'd be really funny, but no.
But Anna did kill. Okay.
Thank you.
So that was the most clear debate at Politicon. Check that out on youtube.com/TYT. And apparently we'll talk about it a little bit in the post game, where I'm going to try to convince Anna to run for Senate. Okay. All right. So what's next, Anna?
All right. An investigation into the behavior of two Border Patrol agents is making headlines after a 16-year-old who was attempting to smuggle drugs into the country was encouraged to drink liquid meth. Now, the 16-year-old Cruz Marcelino Vasquez Acevedo was trying to come into the country, and he had a backpack that contained two bottles with a yellowish liquid. And so, of course, the agents looked at that liquid, asked him what it was, and he claimed that it was apple juice. Now, he told them that the bottles contained apple juice. Officers, of course, didn't believe him and did an initial test on the liquid, but one that is not effective at revealing liquid methamphetamine, which is exactly what this liquid was. And so, unfortunately, they encouraged him to drink the liquid, and now he has died. A couple hours after ingesting it, he died. I want to go to this ABC 7 news report because they give you a little more detail and it kind of gives you visuals of what occurred. Take a look.
Around 6:45 p.m., U.S. Customs and Border Protection says the 16-year-old Velasquez was carrying a bag filled of two amber-colored bottles. Velasquez was using his border crossing card. He's from Tijuana. Now, when asked what was in the bottles, he claimed them to be filled with juice. So at a secondary inspection area, they tell him to take a sip to prove it. The 16-year-old hesitates. Then he takes a sip, then another, and then another, and then another, four in total of a concentrated liquid methamphetamine. Cruz later died.
So that was from NBC 7 in San Diego. We'll have a full link to the full video in the description box below.
Yeah, so guys, it's a terrible story. I don't, I think some of the stuff is clear, some of it is not. But first of all, let me tell you what happened next. He began sweating almost immediately thereafter, and then started screaming in pain. And he started shouting, "My heart, my heart." And that's according to a lawsuit filed by the family in California in federal court. Now look, the video just came out, but we already know what happened in that case. The family won $1 million because of the reaction of the border patrol there. Now, I think, I don't know to what degree those agents knew that it would kill him. I hope to God they didn't know that it would kill him. Is there negligence in not knowing that liquid meth, which is what you're trying to prevent? They thought it might be liquid meth. That's why they started it, stopped him. Mm-hmm. It, for them or their manager, like they should, if they should have been training, like don't let them drink it to try to prove it to you, because they will die on the spot, right? And so, like he started having reactions immediately. He died a couple hours later, as Anna pointed out, in the hospital. But to me, the part that was the worst was that rather than immediately seeking out medical attention, they placed him in custody. No, don't do that. The guy's, he's not faking it. He was trying to prove it to you that it was apple juice. It's obviously not apple juice. You were right, it's liquid meth, which you know at a minimum is really toxic. Get him some help. Get him some help immediately.
Right.
That's what drives me crazy, is the lack of humanity in our reaction to
this. There's a lot of lack of humanity, and I get it. What he was doing was wrong. You shouldn't attempt to smuggle drugs, and of course, Border Patrol agents should do something about that immediately. But the biggest issue right now is we had this insane increase in hiring Border Patrol agents without proper vetting under the Obama administration, and the abuse perpetrated by them has been crazy, literally shooting and killing individuals who throw rocks at them, and also molesting women and girls who are trying to cross the border illegally. And so something needs to be done about that. It's a big problem.
And they were not punished for this.
Right.
They paid the lawsuit, but they did not punish the officers. All right, we'll be right back online. All right, we're back. Let's go to Chris Christie.
Okay.
Oh, you know what? Before we do, I meant to say this earlier. Sorry. There was a couple more things similar that was similarities between Maduro and us. You know, I mentioned the Bushes and the Trumps, but to be fair, I should also mention the Clintons. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, he put his wife in the assembly. How corrupt. Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton. But we're all good. Right, that's why it drives me crazy when we do third world shit like that.
Yeah,
and so you guys might be really upset with me. I don't want Michelle Obama running ever. Okay, I'm not gonna prohibit her from running, right? But enough with the dynasties,
right.
Jesus Christ.
Well,
right?
Yeah, and look, you obviously have an unfair advantage if you had a family member in office and then you decide you want to run for office. That name recognition didn't really work to Hillary's favor, though. But anyway.
It did in the primary.
Well,
it was the only reason why she won in the primary.
Right. I mean, I think the reason why she won in the primary is because of manipulation by the DNC, right?
I understand there's all those factors, but the name recognition is what Bernie couldn't overcome.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay.
Anyway, so last thing on the similarities is that, you know, he's now saying he's going to lock up his political opponents. Trump, during the convention, had everybody chanting, "Lock her up. Lock her up." So we're not that far removed. We're like this much removed. Maybe not this much, but this much. Mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So that's what we're worried about, guys. Anyway, yeah. Let's go to another political thug.
All right.
Here.
As we all know, Chris Christie is not doing so well when it comes to his approval rating, and people have been heckling him and giving him a difficult time. In fact, after he shut down a beach and then enjoyed that shutdown beach with his family, his own constituents called him while he was on a radio show and started yelling at him and talking about how corrupt he is, and he didn't take too kindly to that.
He's trying to be a sports talk show host, by the way. And
he's really trying to do that.
Yeah, he is, because he couldn't get a job in the Trump administration. So he's like, I don't know, I'm going to be out of a job soon. I need something.
I thought that was a joke.
No, it's true. Oh. He was on the Fan in with Mike Francesca, and the names that they called him were Bully and Fat Ass. Look, you're in the New York, New Jersey area, man. You think you're going to go on sports talk? And when you have a popularity of 15% and dropping, and you're not going to get hammered? What planet do you live on? He was at a Mets game, and he caught a foul ball or a fly ball or whatever, a foul ball.
This is pretty bad.
Yeah, and he's like, I caught it. It was a boo, sick to la boo. Okay, they booed him mercilessly.
Okay.
Well, like, that's what happens when you're like, none of you can go on the beach, but I will. Like, yeah of course, let alone the bridges shut down, let alone the fact that, you know, all the ways that he just let New Jersey go and didn't care what happened in the state, et cetera. Anyway,
yes.
So now he's in more trouble.
Apparently, he was at a baseball game and a Cubs fan heckled him. And instead of just letting it go, he decided to get into the Cubs fan's face. Let's take a look at the video.
What did he say to you?
There was a Secret Service right there.
What did he say?
I don't know. You want to act like a big shot?
So the man in the video is Brad Joseph. He told a local station, WISN, that Christie confronted him after he told the New Jersey governor that he, quote, sucked and called him a hypocrite. Christie initially asked the fan if he needed another beer before calling him a big shot.
Okay. It's not a flattering picture of Chris Christie with the nachos or whatever that was, the cheese nachos in his hand leaning over. But I'm going to pardon him. Mm-hmm. Like, so the guy got under his skin. You're a governor. You shouldn't let that bother you. And if you're going to go to the ball game, I don't know if you know this yet, people hate you. And it's a ball game. They're going to say bad things. Let it go. Eat your cheese nachos. But you know, he didn't do anything that bad. He just yelled back at the guy.
I know. Look,
so what?
I think what he said to him wasn't that big of a deal. In terms of optics, it looks really bad. But he's not going to run again. I don't think he's going to run again. So I guess he doesn't care.
I hope he does.
Right?
This is another flexing of power, right?
Yeah.
Because if Joe Schmo was walking down and you're at a Cubs game, it was Milwaukee Brewers and Cubs, I guess, right? So if it's in Milwaukee, I think. If somebody's walking down with a Cubs jersey on, you'd be like, oh, Cubs suck. And that guy turns around and puts his face in your face like that and says, you need another beer? You know what's going to happen? A fight. Mm-hmm. Sometimes. So if the guy stood up and said, yeah, because you're not going to get in my face and look down on me, because that's what a lot of guys do, especially drinking ones at baseball games.
Oh, that's a good point.
And if a fight happens, whose fault is it? The guy who was starting the fight, which was Chris Christie. People yell all the time at baseball games.
It's a great point, because if you notice, the lady in the background said, oh, that was his Secret Service. Now, it's not, because he has nothing to do with the president. But it was, I'm sure, his security.
Right.
And it's one thing to be a tough guy at a ball game if you're just a regular schmo. It's another thing if you got security behind you and you're the governor. What likely would have happened, and I'm not saying it should have, in a situation like that without your security behind you, is those cheese touches would have been all over your shirt. You know, like, oh yeah, I'm a big shot, you're a big shot, boom. Okay, and the nachos are all over the place. And then, you know, don't do it. It's a bad idea. But yes, you do get to, you know, boss people around a little bit more when you got official security behind you.
Right.
So that's the only part that's a little, but still, it's too late. I already pardoned him.
Okay. As long as you say that, then it's fine.
Yeah, and my favorite Chris Christie sports story, and that's why I really want him to be a sports talk show host.
Uh-huh.
So I can laugh and laugh and laugh. Is of course when he was trying to hug Jerry Jones, the owner of the Cowboys. Dude, you're representing New Jersey. You're in an owner's box with the Cowboys, and then you're like pathetically trying to rub up against him, and he doesn't even want it. That's embarrassing, dude. So that's worse than anything that happened at this game. And what is it with Chris Christie that he won't go to, like, why is he always at other people's games? This is Cubs Brewers. What does that have to do with New Jersey?
Who cares?
I know.
Yeah.
I pardon him for going to the game, have some fun.
Doing research for sports broadcasting.
I do not pardon you for trying to rub up against Jerry Jones.
Yeah. By the way, one final thing. Look, I don't feel much sympathy for him because he's a bad guy, but I think what we just saw perfectly, like, it just gives you an example of why I think fame sucks. Right, mm-hmm. Because no matter what, even if you're not a bad person, someone's gonna find some reason to hate you. And so being in public places like that, you put yourself at risk. Someone's gonna get on your nerves, or who knows, someone might be crazy and actually try to hurt you. Like, fame sucks, it really does.
Okay, yeah, I hear you. Like JR pointed out, in his case, you also have more power, but that's okay. All right, what's next?
All right, freedom of speech story that I love. A Trump supporter has decided to threaten people who planned on protesting Trump's West Virginia rally with gun violence. And now he's being investigated by the FBI. His name is Dana Capron. And he posted on a number of different platforms, including an article on The Hill, Facebook, Twitter, all over the place. Let me give you a taste of some of the stuff he's put out there. So he said, calling all armed conservatives, if we go, then we go armed, not for the rally, but for the protesters. Let's give the protesters what they want. Those who ride, then do so, and those who can drive, do so. Bring everything you have or can bring. We start with anyone blocking the streets, then we clear the protesters out, and once and for all. Okay, so, and he says, by any means necessary, let's show them that this is not California, and we deal with protesters faster. So he's saying, like, let's shoot the protesters. Let's do away with them by any means necessary, especially if they're blocking the road.
That's funny. When Malcolm X said by any means necessary, I was told that he was a thug and a potential terrorist and a radical. And I was told that that's exactly what's wrong with some black activists. So interesting that some right wingers have decided that is the right way to go.
Let's go to graphic 20. His social media accounts have been deactivated, and Downtown Huntington reported that his Facebook post was under investigation by local authorities and federal authorities, including the Secret Service and the FBI. And just to give you a few other examples of things that he has now deleted, he says, if Michael Moore wants to rise up, then let us take our arms and let us take, okay. If Michael Moore wants to rise up, then let us take our arms and rise against him. His death will be sweet. Kill them all. Hashtag zero sympathy. Okay, so let's just talk about free speech for a second, because I hear a lot of crying and whining from conservatives when it comes to college campuses protesting certain speakers. Now, I don't think that college campuses should ban speakers, regardless of what your political ideology is. Let everyone come, give their speech, and you know, it's a free marketplace of ideas. Just because you disagree doesn't mean someone should be banned. But I don't see Milo Yiannopoulos or Ann Coulter speaking out about what's going on here. People are allowed to protest. That's protected under the First Amendment. And saying that you're going to go ahead and shoot and kill individuals because they're protesting your dear leader is absolutely absurd. But no one cares about that. No one speaks out against that.
Yeah. And now look, the authorities are looking into it. So that's a good thing. The Secret
right.
Service and FBI, et cetera, because threatening to kill people is a crime. I'm going to tell you only one funny part of the story, and then I'll move on to some of the more serious stuff. In one of his unhinged posts on the Federalist website, he wrote, liberals don't own guns, they're all in the dildo movement.
Which, by the way, that sounds fucking fabulous.
Okay. Okay, I don't know, like, where do they come up with this stuff? Okay.
What's wrong with dildos?
I don't know. Anyway, so, most of it was deadly serious. In another post, he said there'd be a lot of so-called innocent liberals face down dead in the streets, and that would be a welcome sight to me, referring to something that he wanted to do.
Right.
But one thing I want to point out to you, and it's so ironic, this happens all the time, is in another post, he said they want all of us dead, referring to liberals, they want all of us dead and our children's blood splatter all over the roads so they can dance in it to the devil's tune. Okay. So, and it goes on and on with all these terrible things.
I have to finish that. All Christian women who are pregnant, let's bring it back up. All right, all Christian women who are pregnant will be rounded up and forced to have an abortion, then taken to the courtyard and shot in the back of the head. What? What? Any man found to be a Christian will be shot where they stand, even in the churches. We will have to hide our faith, Bibles, and guns. Like that's members of the right wing think these crazy things right now.
Yeah, and so of course it's not all the right wing, but the constant propaganda has gotten, and the fear mongering has gotten them into a state of, some of them into a state of panic. And oh my God, what are we gonna do? There's a dildo movement and it's gonna kill all the Christian men in the churches and it's gonna kill all of our babies. Meanwhile, the only person actually threatening violence is him. Mm-hmm. And the reason I brought it up is the projection. Let's go kill all the liberals. Liberals want to kill us. No, nobody said they wanted to kill you. Liberals are for nonviolence and for peace. They're like, oh, those guys are all for the peace movement? Oh yeah, they're deadly. Let's murder them first, right? No, man, it's unfortunately some unhinged portions of the right wing that are obsessed with guns and want and can't wait to use them, and especially on protesters. And again, protesters are exercising their First Amendment rights, and the ones that the conservatives claim to care a lot about. And finally, that hashtag that he had in the tweet about killing Michael Moore and killing them all is like the essence of extreme right-wing ideology. Hashtag zero sympathy. That's it right there in a nutshell. I have no sympathy for anyone who isn't me. For me, oh my God, I'm worried about they're going to come and kill me in the middle of the night with dildos or whatever's going on, right? But for you guys, hashtag zero sympathy. If I'm not you, I don't care. Okay, you're struggling, that's your problem, bootstraps.
Yeah.
Right? You don't have health care, don't care, you're not me. Hashtag zero sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
And so
there's a new, I don't know if it's new, it's the first time that I've heard it, and it's interesting because I've been pointing out that, you know, it seems like there are people in the country who don't have any empathy. But what I've heard over and over again recently from conservatives is emotions have no place in politics, right?
Oh,
which by the way is, I know that surface level that sounds like it's about right. Yeah, you shouldn't put your emotions into it. But except in order to be an effective leader, you have to have compassion. You have to have empathy. Those are emotions. And if you think that those are bad emotions and people should be void of any and all emotions, well, then you're going to have a sociopath running the country, which is what we have now.
And by the way, it's also another hypocrisy on their part. They say, now don't do emotions. That's why you should really concentrate on fear. Be afraid of the immigrants, be afraid of the Muslims. What emotions? What do you mean? Fear, watch out, look at all those Muslim countries, the six countries that have brought all these people and killed them. Who did they kill? Nobody. You have no facts, all you have is emotions. I'm afraid, I'm so afraid of the gays and the dildo movement, I'm afraid, oh my God. And the campuses, they're filled with liberals, I'm so afraid. Don't use emotion though, don't use emotion, and let alone the hate.
Yeah.
And what a weird upside down world where they think the emotions of fear and hate are awesome, but the other ones, compassion, hey, don't get emotional. Okay, all right, we're way out of time. When we come back, yes, we were a Politicon over the weekend. We'll have a discussion about that and see if we can get Anna to become a US senator. So tytnetwork.com/join to become a member. We'll see you over there. Bye-bye.